Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How was your weekend?
It was great. Baby Cal's second birthday party.
Baby Cal is toot toot toot.
We had a Pop Shop gathering over the weekend.
I happened to be at Baby Cal's.
We should have recorded something from the party.
Oh, yeah, we should have.
On location.
Yeah, on location at Baby Cal's birthday party. Mm-hmm. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and Baby Cal. On Billboard's weekly charts. I feel like we talk about Baby Cal almost every single week.
As well we should.
In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about Drake getting his 9th number one on the Billboard 200 chart and what record he extends in doing so. How rock act Slipknot could tie up their third number one album next week, and how Ariana Grande and Social House's new song, Boyfriend, debuts straight into the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Plus, we've got an interview with Alec Benjamin, the singer-songwriter who stopped by recently to talk about his new single, Jesus in LA, the status of his second album, our mutual love of John Mayer.
We went in deep, folks.
I love to work John Mayer into any conversation, but it actually like made sense here.
Yeah.
And much more, so stick around for that a little later. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do the chart chat. Chart chat.
Chart chat.
Yeah. First up, Drake achieves his 9th number one album on the Billboard 200 chart as his new archival compilation album, Care Package, premieres in the top slot. The set launches with 109,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending August 8th, according to Nielsen Music. And of that sum, 16,000 were in album sales. Care Package collects 17 of Drake's stray tracks, many of which were never released officially and only available via SoundCloud or YouTube. It's a lot of odds and sods thing that would show up on like the Best Buy edition of an album, and it'd be a bonus track or just stuff he just put up on YouTube, and then he's like, here, put them all together. Smart thing to do,
I'd say.
Drake extends his own record for the most number one albums this decade, as all 9 of his leaders have arrived since 2010.
Look for Drake's new age album next to debut straight into number one.
Waiting for that Drake Inya collab that we've been dying for.
I mean, we joke, but I would totally listen to that, actually.
I mean, who knows?
He can do it all.
In this era, anything is possible. Indeed. In terms of collaborations. Next week, it looks like Drake could actually step aside for Slipknot, as the rock band's new album could open in the top slot, according to forecasts from industry prognosticators. Next up, over on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road is number one.
What?
Oh my God. Huh? What song is this that you speak of?
Oh my goodness.
For a 19th week. Though, it feels like either this week or next week could be its final week at number one. I feel like that could happen. But what do we know?
Who knows?
I mean, I thought Ariana Grande's new song, Boyfriend, her collaboration with Social House, had a chance of debuting in the number two slot this week, and it ended up debuting at number 8.
Which is obviously still great.
Still a big deal.
Top 10 debut.
It is. It's actually the first top 10 for Social House, which is the duo of Charles Anderson and Michael Foster, and the 14th top 10 for Grande. Mm-hmm. The collaboration also debuts at number 2 on digital song sales, with 31,000 sold. Number 7 on the streaming songs chart with nearly 26 million in U.S. streams, and at number 40 on our radio songs chart with nearly 25 million in audience impressions earned in the week ending this past Sunday, which was the 11th. And now it's time for our interview with Alec Benjamin. The singer-songwriter scored his first Hot 100 hit earlier this year with his breakthrough song, Let Me Down Slowly, and saw his album Narrated for You, his debut for Atlantic Records, hit the Billboard 200 chart. While Let Me Down Slowly is probably the first song the masses have heard from Alec, he's actually been recording and releasing music for years, even being signed to and dropped by Columbia Records before signing with Atlantic. In our chat, we talk about the meaning behind his new single, Jesus in L.A., how he's drawn to things that are polarizing, in terms of art, by the way, his songwriting process, Katie and him gush about their mutual love for John Mayer and how John is one of the reasons why Alec put out Jesus in L.A. because John said he loved the song.
Just texting John and getting opinions about songs.
Oh, yeah. and we also talk about his upcoming second album for Atlantic and much more. So here's our chat with Alec Benjamin. And it's a crying shame you came all this way because you won't find Jesus in L.A. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. Alec Benjamin, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I have to say, your voice went from very lively before we started recording to very, like, soft.
Because I get nervous.
What? Did you suddenly just get nervous when we started
officially?
Yeah,
it's crazy how that happens, actually. Like, the second that someone presses record, I, like, start to freak out. Like,
I haven't actually started recording anything yet.
Yeah.
No, I have.
I saw you press it.
Damn it.
All of a sudden, I feel like I have to, like, you know, my stomach starts going crazy. I have to, yeah.
We're easy.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, the most, like, easy interview possible.
Yeah, we right. promise.
We promise. So, tell us about your thoughts on Middle East peace.
Right.
Okay. No.
All right, so, does it feel like everything has been sort of, like, a natural progression since, you know, because you've been doing this for years, but most people only have become familiar with you fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been making music since you're in high school, and you've been, like, sort of releasing music in some capacity for 5-6 years.
Right.
Does it feel like it's all been kind of like a steady build, or do you feel like everything's kind of exploded in the past year or so because of the Atlantic connection?
I think that nothing about this is natural. I've been, like, pushing my body way too hard for the last, like, 6 years.
Okay, that's not good. You should take some time off.
I don't want to now.
it's too late now.
But, like, you know, when someone says to me, like, oh, you know, all these crazy things have happened this year, it's like, first off, I live in California, so, and now I am traveling around so much where, like, I don't have, like, one time zone. I wake up at weird times. I'm eating at weird times.
You have no idea
so
what
I have
time
no frame
is.
Of reference for time. So when you say, like, it's been a year, I'm like, for real? Like, I have no idea, you know what I mean? There's no, like,
what is a year?
Yeah, it's like we went to Australia. It's like a totally different time of year over there, you know? And then you come back, and then you go to Asia, and then you're just like, what?
You
where?
Have, like, two summers and a winter.
Yeah, you have no idea where you are geographically or where you are in time, you know? So
it's like a full-on Doctor Who episode
but
of your life right
at
now.
The same time, I feel like I've been pushing really hard for a very long time. And you know the saying, like, a watch pot never boils? Or, like, you know, if you, like, when I went off to college and I came back and, you know, my grandparents had been, like, slowly aging for a long time. But then when I went to college and I didn't see them for 6 months and then I came home, it was like, oh, my God, you know, like,
what happened?
Yeah.
You got old.
Exactly, you know. So it's, like, it's the same thing with the music. Kind of, like, I'm so in it that when these things happen, it's like, you know, it's not it doesn't really feel like all of a sudden everything just changed.
You mentioned living here in L.A., and you have your new single, Jesus
Segway.
In L.A.
Segway.
Yeah. And it's sort of about being a little disillusioned with Los Angeles, maybe? I don't know. What were you thinking when you wrote that one about the city? Like, what were you saying about L.A.?
So that was about, like, a couple of things. It was like a... like, two stories kind of came together. I had, without revealing too much.
No, reveal it all.
No, because it's not my story to reveal. Mm. But I was, I know somebody who's close to me who was struggling with some things. They were like, oh, man, you know, you're not going to find what you're looking for, like, in the clubs or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's true. So initially it was going to kind of be about that. And then I thought, like, well, how does that apply to me? And when I was growing up in Arizona, I'd always wanted to come to California. And I always felt like I never got, like, invited to parties or anything in high school or anything like that. So I always kind of felt like I was on the outside. And I was like, one day, like, I'm going to go to L.A. and I'm going to be a really big star. Like, you wait and see, you know, you know what I mean? And I kind of came out here, and that's the exact opposite of what happened. And so, and even now, like, even though I'm starting to kind of finally get my music out there, and it feels like, you know, I'm at least, like, kind of a little bit in the game.
People are inviting you to things.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
sure.
I mean, well, you know, not even that, because, like, I still live at home. Like, I don't go. But, like, I realize, like, through all of this stuff, the one thing that really does make me happy is just, like, being at home with my family, and I had that the whole time. So it's not just about, like, LA. It could be anywhere where you feel like, oh, if I just get this or if I just get that, it's like,
right.
It's not about that. You
like
know?
You're just looking at the finish line kind of thing instead of enjoying where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the song, it's called Jesus in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to sort of frame this the right way. Like, we live in, like, a weird time right now where everyone is very quick, thanks to social media, to kind of pick apart something.
Sure.
Like, really fast, like, based upon the most innocuous things. Like, oh, what does that title mean? Or why are you using the word Jesus? Like, did you pause and think, am I going to get, like, lots of, like, questions, like this conversation we're having right now? Like, questioning me about, like, why did you use the word Jesus? Or does this mean something deeper? Or were you just like, no, I just want to tell a story, and I happen to use that?
At first, I didn't really think that, but I'm kind of, like, drawn to things that are polarizing, you know? Like, I'm my opinion on art is, like, you should either love something or absolutely hate something, but it should make you feel like a very deep emotion. So, like, I feel like the worst place to be is in a place where people are like, meh. You know what I mean? You know, like, who do you remember on American Idol? Like, you remember, like, you know, William Hung, and then
Sanjaya.
Well, I mean, Sanjaya was
actually pretty good.
But Sanjaya was lit. But like, but you remember both ends of the spectrum, right. You know?
You don't remember like the mediocre stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Just as long as, like, you know, it makes you feel something. And so I picked Jesus to talk about because I felt like, especially living in the West, like, Jesus is like a symbol that's synonymous with salvation, and it doesn't get more like, you know, than that.
Doves, so I felt like sunlight and
clouds. In order to make my point, I had to pick like a figure that was, you know,
a stand-in for all those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
You co-write all your songs or write them entirely. What's the songwriting process for you like? Is it are you somebody who like takes notes on your phone if you like get a good idea, or you know, keep a journal? Like how do you come up with those ideas?
I take notes on my phone.
Yeah.
I guess that is my journal. I write a lot by myself. And then I have a couple of people that I really enjoy like writing songs with, and I write with them because they're great. I think the lyric side of things is always has to come from me 100%. You know, maybe a couple lyrics here and there where someone's like, oh, maybe, you know, you should rhyme this instead of, you know, change this out. But the idea of the song has to come from me, and melodically it mostly has to come from me as well. The place where I get stuck sometimes is I'm not like technically an amazing musician. You know, I can play, but there are so many people that I know that are incredibly creative when it comes to like, you know, coming up with musical ideas that help me, help inspire me and stuff. And then there's only a couple people that I'll let be like, oh no, you can't use that lyric or whatever, whatever, you know. But I try to keep it like a pretty, I do a lot of sessions, so I'll try writing with a bunch of people, but that's to find like a right sort of like person that I can continue writing with in the future.
So it's hard to spill your guts to like, hi, person I just met, how's it going?
Well,
let me tell you about this personal thing.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, that's true. And like, not a lot of people are really willing to write a song about Jesus in LA, you know?
Right.
You walk into a session, you're like, I have a great idea, guys.
This
whole song is going to be about not finding trying to find what you're looking for and not finding it. It's going to be staged as a conversation with the devil, and the chorus has to include Jesus in LA. Let's write that. And everyone in the room is like, I'm sorry, what?
Who?
But the LA way of saying that is, that doesn't sound like a hit.
That's like lame. Like, I mean, so like, this not scripted, but it just seems like the things that become hits are never things that you think are necessarily going to become a hit.
Sound great on paper or like, yeah.
This is the recipe for like a pop hit, or the radio is going to play this. Like, we don't ever know. And like, sometimes like the wackiest things end up becoming huge hits.
Right. You never know.
You never know.
Old Town Road.
Katie has a very important question.
Oh, I guess I do. Sorry. I'm a big John Mayer fan. So
oh, cool. Me too.
Super pumped when he popped up.
I talked to him last night.
You did?
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you talk about?
I sent him my new songs.
Oh, that's amazing.
When I write a new song, and he's basically the one that decides the songs that go on my record.
He's
doing
the A&R,
sort
of. He's helping out.
I mean, you know, that's not true. And if Atlantic listens to this, they're gonna be
Atlantic
like,
is sitting next to you at this table right now.
I'm really lucky to have an amazing team of people. So, I would say that he's on the team, like, and just because like I send him the songs, and if he likes it, I go, no, this is coming out. And one of the reasons why I put out Jesus in LA was because he was like, I love this song.
That's incredible. And then he came out and performed with you.
He did.
Just a few months ago, was it?
Was it a few months
ago?
Yeah.
It was like 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? Was it? I don't remember.
Yeah. Like April? Yeah. We had somebody there. Billboard was there.
It was across the street from us. It was at Bale Ray, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How did the initial hookup happen with John? Because I read that he just found you online, which sounds like a fairy tale. So the is real, that really the real story?
The real story is there's a guy named Jensen Karp who works at K-Rock. And he
found... Jensen.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Isn't he on, like, the morning show?
He's on Kevin and Bean.
Yes, he is. He found my music, and he's good friends with John. And he shared it with John.
Wow.
And John, that day, went through all of my music. He shared... with John a song called Death of a Hero, and then John listened to my whole album and he started posting about it. I was on tour at the time, like in a van in the freezing cold in the middle of nowhere, like, you know, sleeping next to my keyboard player Nathan, and he started posting about my music on Instagram. And I woke up and I had like 80 texts, and so everyone's like, check your Instagram. And John Mayer had posted like 5 stories about my songs.
Oh my god.
And I cried.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I was freaking out.
And like, now to not only get that love, but to have this like ongoing like relationship with him where you can bounce ideas or songs and whatever off of him, that's incredible.
Well, and also the fact that like this totally random thing where Jensen, who you did not know, right?
Right. I do now.
But before, he did not know that you had posters of John Mayer on like on your walls when you were younger.
Is that
a true story?
I think that, yes, it is a true story.
You told that
on
stage.
And I have the picture. It's a true story, and I have the poster, too.
So, like,
I posted it on my Instagram.
Like, Jensen didn't know that. He just happened to hear your music.
I think that if
he
listened to my music, anybody could tell that John is, like, one of my favorite artists,
so
if not my favorite artist.
Right. That's
so crazy.
Incredible.
And he's the reason why I started playing music.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow. Wow. Katie loves John.
Me too.
And
yeah.
She's,
I know how you feel because I have the same, like, you know, when you just like look at someone, you're just like, damn, you're so cool. Like, I know how you feel.
He's so talented. He put out his first album when I was a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the soundtrack of my college, like all of his music.
Yeah, he's the best.
Absolutely.
Well, Katie and John wrote a song, like a snippet of a song together on the podcast.
Yeah, I interviewed him one time and for this podcast, and he started making up a song off of something I said. I'm like, what's happening?
Well, someone next to us, tell us if you have to drag Alec out. No?
Yo, okay, check this out. So he
says no.
I went to go see John. John was like, you want to come on my show, Current Mood? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. No. And so I invited him to my show. At that time I was playing at the Roxy. And he couldn't make it to the show, but he was like, come by the studio before I'm recording a new song. So anyways, I walked in while he was doing the vocals to I Guess I Just Feel Like, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He was literally singing the takes. I walk in the studio, there's like a couple people in there, engineer or whatever, and he turns around. By the way, like, I knew he was tall, but when you see next to him, you're just like, damn, he's pretty tall. He's a big guy. And so he turned around, he was like, oh, hey guys, like, by the way, this is my friend Alec.
Aww.
And I was like, what? And the day after I left, so then we're going to Arizona. He sends me this voice memo. He's like, yo, you like left a song in the room while you were there. And he sent me this chorus that he had written that he said that was like inspired by our meeting or something like that. I don't know, but it's amazing. And he hasn't finished it yet. And I keep telling him, like, dude, you got to finish
this
song.
And
I said to him a couple times, I'm like, yo, if you don't finish it, like, I'm probably going to finish it, like, as a joke, but like, just like seeing what he would say. And then he just like didn't acknowledge that. So I guess he doesn't want me to, but it's so good.
Or maybe
so
that was just tacit approval. Yeah.
No. It wasn't, but it's so good.
Like, no, it wasn't. No.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, you have the new single out.
Yeah.
Is this like sort of the first taste of what could be an album at some point down the road?
Definitely. Okay. So hopefully, I get to put out the album. I mean, it's really like. Everyone is like, yeah, you know, the album is done. Like, and I'm just like, nah, it's not ready yet. Like, I still have more to say. And so hopefully I'll be ready to put it out in January or February.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're going to get a lot of...
But more singles, like a few more
singles.
Yeah, this summer.
Could John Mayer pop up on the album?
You know, I hope so. I'll keep asking him.
You can text him later. I also saw how Charlie Puth posted a video about you.
Yeah.
And you had it on your socials.
That was so cool.
Did you know him, or you just like...
So I've always like known about Charlie, just because like he's a big artist. But the person who signed me at Atlantic named Miles, he also signed Charlie.
Oh.
And so one time he was at Charlie's house listening to some new music, and he asked me if I wanted to come over. And so I went over and I met Charlie, and I just like sitting in the studio with him and like seeing his process. Also, he produces and he writes too, you know?
Yeah.
And so like he is like one of the most amazing musicians I've ever like been in the room with, you know? So that for me was really cool to hear him say those kinds of things about my music, because also like a lot of people, I think more and more people are starting to find this out about Charlie, but like he's just like the way his brain works is insane. Like he is so good. It's mind blowing.
Maybe he'll show up on your album.
That'd be cool too.
Hey, let's just make it all.
We might write a song this week.
Ooh,
but I don't know.
It's too late now. It's now in the world. Okay. I have a request for your next album.
Okay,
can you maybe consider like putting like a club banger on it, like a dance floor filler?
You know what?
Just saying.
If it's in my heart, then it will happen.
Okay, we can put it in your heart.
Okay. I went to a club for the first time ever this weekend.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
for and the how first was
where?
Yo, it was actually lit. It was cool because so Austin is right there. So I went with Austin because him and Justin, who managed me, they manage an artist named Griffin, and I just really like his music. And so he was like, they said, yo, he's doing like, it was at Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm. I was having a great weekend, they were like, yo, he's doing this thing at a club, like, do you want to go?
So Chicago,
and then I found out there was free food, and I was like, all right, yeah, cool, yeah. So I'm there. But I like danced at a club. I had it was like all my close friends, so it was just like it was a lot of fun.
Oh,
I had the best time ever. Yeah, but we were like it wasn't like, you know, like going to the club like it was after I played my set. I smelled terrible. Like it was
you
really
weren't like
fun.
Getting bottle service.
Right.
Like
no, I mean, I was just like jumping around with my friends. It was a good time.
That's the best way to kind of experience.
Yeah, it might be the last time I go to a club, but like it was a good time.
And maybe there'll be a song.
Unless they invite me again, then I'll go with them. But that's it.
So the next album's gonna have John, Charlie, and
club banger,
and a club banger. Total. That's a total different area. We don't know what could happen.
Right.
This has been so much fun. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck with everything this year and
next
year.
Thank you. Could you find a way to let me down slowly? A little sympathy, I hope you can show me. If you want to go, then I'll be so lonely.
If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. Let me down, down. Thank you so much to Alec for stopping by. It was so much fun to talk to him, and I always love any excuse to talk about John Mayer, so
yeah,
that worked out well.
We went in deep on John there.
We did, because he lit up when we started talking about
him.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I wish I knew more about John Mayer. Because
when you find things in common.
And now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Our interview with Alec prompted me to seek out another singer-songwriter for our chart stat this week. And 30 years ago this week, Richard Marx hit number one on the Hot 100 with Right Here Waiting. The track climbed 4-1 on the list dated August 12th, 1989, and spent 3 weeks atop the list. Well, it was the third number one in a row for Marx, who previously topped the list with Satisfied and Hold On to the Nights. In total, Marx has locked up 17 Hot 100 hits, 14 of which hit the top 40. But did you know, Katie? I mean, you may know now because you might be reading ahead, that Marx was a prolific session musician and background vocalist before he hit it big on the charts as an artist on his own.
I did not know that.
All right, the multi-instrumentalist popped up on a number of songs and albums among his notable credits. He sang background on Lionel Richie's All Night Long.
Whoa!
Peebo Bryson's If Ever You're In My Arms Again. And even Madonna's White Heat from her True Blue album. Richard Marx was also a musician on Whitney Houston's debut album, including playing on the tracks Saving All My Love for You and The Greatest Love of All. Noted NSYNC fan Katie will also appreciate this nugget. Richard Marx also wrote NSYNC's This I Promise You.
I knew that one.
It was a number 5 Hot 100 hit in 2000 for NSYNC. Richard Marx also wrote Luther Vandross's number 1 AC hit, Dance With My Father, Josh Groban's To Where You Are, and even a few number ones on the Hot Country Songs chart, including Keith Urban's Better Life.
Man.
Yeah, diversified. Well, currently Marx is prepping the release of a new album, his first in 5 years. So there you have it. This week, back in 1989, Richard Marx topped the Hot 100 with Right Here Waiting. Alrighty, end of our big show. Any parting words?
Oh man, nope.
Nope. What song should we go out on?
Man.
A John Mayer song?
I was going to say one of the Richard Marx written songs, maybe.
Oh, maybe This I Promise You.
Let's do it.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye.